DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
It's our fourth and final hour in one of my favorite shows of the year. We are at the Guardsman Tree Lot here in the Festival Pavilion down in Fort Mason, right across from the Marina Safeway in San Francisco. It is a phenomenal setting for us, and each and every year we basically set up an indoor forest of Christmas trees, which is normally 2,000 to 3,000 trees deep. We're down to about 300 because it was that busy of a weekend. Tomorrow, 1,000 brand new trees are going to be delivered. If you are on your way home tonight and want to stop on by, please do. We're going to be here for another hour. The lot is open until 9 o'clock tonight, and there are dozens of young men around here just waiting to help you out, pick out that perfect Christmas tree, with all the proceeds going to Bay Area at-risk youth. That's what we do here at the Guardsman Tree Lot. We take lives and change them one at a time with educational opportunities, chances to go to summer camp, and just getting out of a concrete jungle for a week during the middle of the summer. It can change an entire kid's year. It really can, and so that's what we do. Hopefully you come on down and support this and be a part of it. We'd love to have all of your holiday cheer be funneled through the tree lot here with the Guardsmen. We have everything you would need, from wreaths to garland to bows to tree toppers to ornaments to lights to the tree itself, everything.
It's a one-stop shop.
We got everything but the chimney for Santa to actually come on down. Your chimney,
that's
and
on you.
Your cookies and your milk need to be provided on you. We'll take care of the rest if you come on down. And you, by coming on down here, will be taking care of a whole bunch of kids who don't grow up with the cookies and the milk and the chimney that we all so have been blessed with.
Absolutely,
we really have
yeah.
been. So if you can come on down here and do some good, that would be phenomenal. Every single time we talk to Steve Kerr, it's just a great conversation. He is generous with his time. He is considerate with his answers. And today was no different. We had a very interesting couple of Warrior games to talk about. Obviously, the game in Toronto was fantastic, but it was so long ago. I mean, is anyone still really even thinking about it? The answer, as Steve Kerr is about to prove to you, is yes. Even though that was an overtime loss, that game is still very much on his mind. They just had a couple of lightweights in Atlanta and Cleveland lined up for them. That's going to bring them into Milwaukee. He was brutally hard on himself after a loss in Detroit. So we had an awful lot to talk about with Steve Kerr, who, when we caught up with him in the 4 o'clock hour, had just checked into his hotel in Milwaukee, where he was getting all sorts of cozy and happy. Steve Kerr getting cozy in his Milwaukee hotel on a cold night.
That's exactly what I'm doing. It's 23 degrees outside, but about 72 in my room. It's nice and cozy in here.
You can't even go outside without a little whiskey in your coat pocket. Jeez, that's cold.
It is, it is freezing out there, but that's all right. You know, we're a pretty tough group. We can get it out.
Indeed. Steve, you played four very interesting games so far on this trip. Is there a standout moment, a performance, a quarter that jumps off your radar you want to talk about first?
I think the most memorable part of the trip really was the comeback in Toronto in the fourth quarter, and just the incredible barrage of shots that Kevin was hitting in that second half. It seems like that was like 2 weeks ago. We've been on the road forever, but that was just an amazing performance and unbelievable. Yes. Entertainment for the fans watching.
6 days does feel like 6 weeks in quickly as everything moves. The one-on-one game we got between Kawhi versus Durant, and look, I know it's a team game and everybody counts out there, but the two of them went back and forth with an incredible show, and that was a game, Steve, and look, this league is built for you to wave the white flag in certain situations, and you were maybe a bucket made or stopped from being in that situation four different times, but you always hit the bucket to keep you in that game, and it was an awful lot of fun. You know, we shouldn't just walk away from the wins going, that was an awful lot of fun. We should walk away from any excellent basketball game going, wow, that was great. And that really was an overtime loss, about as much fun as I've had all year watching you guys.
Yeah, well, Kevin was just sublime. I mean, it was so incredible to watch the shot making, particularly the last three in regulation to tie the game. You know, over Kawhi and Serge Ibaka, just amazing. Just the ability to get the shot off, much less, you know, knock it down under pressure. But I think we enjoy all these games, but I always love games in Toronto. There's a really good atmosphere there. They have a hell of a team this season. And that was a really fun night. And, you know, it's interesting. All these games are every other night now. And the league has done a good job of softening up the schedule so we don't have nearly as many back-to-backs. So it's kind of game, day off, game, day off. And so you get a more of a chance to, you know, kind of relax a little bit and rest up in between games, but it also means longer road trips.
Warrior head coach Steve Kerr here on the Damon Bruce Show. Obviously a massive absence now in the city of Cleveland, and everyone was talking about it last night. How much different is it, Steve, to play the Cavs without J.R. Smith?
I see what you did there, Dan. pretty nice work.
Thank you. But seriously, it was a different feeling. The building sounded and looked different. Players were commenting on it afterwards. Is there any part of you, Steve, that's sad to see the formal book on the Warriors and Cavs kind of come to a close here?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I found myself last night feeling kind of nostalgic for just all those nights we played in that arena with so much pressure and so much energy and noise and so much on the line. And the quality of basketball was just so high. And so, the fact that it's gone now is kind of sad. The crowd, I think, reflected that, you know. There just wasn't much energy in there. They know they're just at the beginning of a rebuild. It's going to take a while. But it felt very different, for sure.
Could you believe them hitting so many threes on you in the first half? I mean, the market adjustment came in the second, but that was almost like the Utah game or the Brooklyn game for a minute there.
Well, you could go down the list. I mean, almost everybody seems to play its best game against us. You know, it's we just see so many teams come out knocking down shots, and I reminded the guys of that. You know, after the game, that's the way it's going to be. You know, you guys come to town, and people can't wait. They've circled the game on the calendar, and they're going to bring their best stuff. And it's one of the challenges of being a championship team. You got to be ready every single night. And I'm not thrilled with our play at this point. I'm glad we've gotten a couple wins, but we really need to put together a more complete effort. Especially at the defensive end of the floor, if we're going to kind of take that next step.
Well, is that why you ripped yourself after the Detroit game? I thought you were a little hard on Steve Kerr, by the way.
Well, you know, I really felt lousy after that game. That was genuine. I didn't just make that up. I thought the rotations were bad. Our play calling was bad. We just couldn't get anything going, and I felt like I was part of that. So I think it's important for our players to know that, you know, everybody's accountable for this stuff. You know, they play, but we coach, and we're all in this together. And we needed to do a better job. That was a very poor effort. So I'm happy we've done better the last couple of games. The first half against Atlanta was really solid. Second half was disappointing. And then last night I thought, you know, we made a lot of shots, but I didn't think we executed that well. I didn't think our defense was that great. So still looking for us to put together a more complete effort, and that's what we're working towards.
Meanwhile, as you wait for that effort, which hopefully comes in Milwaukee tomorrow, because that's probably required to go out and win that game. Steve, the last two games we've seen Curry and Durant sort of bring their lethal execution to a level that we're not used to even, and we're used to a lot of things with this team, but 125 points between the two on just 66 shots. I mean, both these guys can pull it from anywhere. Both can take it inside. Both are deadly at the line. It's just a duo that when it's playing efficiently, I mean, how do you stop it? How do you slow it down? How would you, if you were coaching against that, against you, what would you do?
Well, I mean, that's the problem. When you go against Kevin, you know, he's just going to rise up and shoot over the top of you. And a lot of times with Steph, he's just going to dribble Indian step back and shoot from 30 feet out. And there's not much defense for either one of them. And when those guys are both hitting like they were last night in that second half, I mean, there's not much anybody can do.
Durant has had to play two distinctly different roles on this trip. We've seen the volume shooter, the primary scorer. He's putting 40 and 50 on us. And then in back-to-back, he gets to pick and choose his shots with Curry back out there. He's only looking for that singular best shot, and he's got this Terminator-like level of efficiency about him. What is Durant's favorite flavor of Kevin Durant, and what is yours?
I think Kevin, in his heart, loves efficiency. He loves to have a 12 for 15 game more than he likes a 13 for 28 game. You know, I think he relishes being perfect, and we've seen that. And I think it's one of the reasons he enjoys playing with our group is that we don't rely on him every night like we did in Toronto last week, or, you know, like we've done in the finals the last couple of years, where, you know, we had to get good shots and we would just throw him the ball. We don't have to do that every night because we've got a lot of talent and a lot of guys who can make plays. So I think he loves when everybody's playing well, everybody's playing together. And he can get his, you know, 28 points on about 15 shots.
It's beautiful to watch. It really is. You talk about playing with joy. It's a joy to watch when it's happening the way that it's been happening. Steve Kerr, Warriors head coach. It's funny, a team that is dripping with all-stars like you still needs to lean on its role players at time. Which role player buys you the most extra possessions? Is it Jerebko or Looney? These guys are just offensive rebounds.
Yeah, they're great, and it was great to have Alfonso back last night, too.
Yeah.
I thought he gained us about four or five extra possessions at both ends. You know, a couple of offensive rebounds and then a couple of loose balls at the defensive end that he scrambled for. And you have to have that. We talk about the possession game all the time. You know, who ends up with more field goal attempts? And it's not as big of an indicator of who's going to win as it is in the NFL. You know, I think in the NFL, if you lose a turnover battle, it's I'm guessing it's 80% of the time you're going to lose. Not quite as important in basketball because you have so many more possessions total. But for us, it's a big deal just with our talent. You know, if we can win that possession battle, I feel like we're going to win almost every single night.
Well, there's no doubt. When you guys are shooting like it and taking care of the ball, it becomes unstoppable. When a player misses, a young player, especially like McKinney, misses a chunk of time, Coach, where do you want him studying? What film do you want him watching? What did you have Alfonso doing when he was out?
Well, sometimes it's not a bad thing for a young guy like Alfonso to sit on the sidelines for a couple weeks and watch what's unfolding, especially after he's been out there already, you know, in the early going. And so you want him to understand kind of the layers to the offense. You know, every play we run, you know, has a first option, but there's, you know, if you break it down, there's second and third options that you can get to. So we're trying to point those things out, as well as personnel dynamics. You know, part of being an NBA player is you need to know every single night what your opponent is doing. You know, Jeremy Lin the other night drove past us twice to his right and got layups. Well, that's on the scouting report. He's going to go right every single time. We know that. If you've watched him play, if you've scouted him, you have to have that in your mind when you're on the floor, and you've got to send him left. And so those are the kinds of things that we're trying to get Zota to be aware of.
Well, it's good to see him back out there. Hopefully he gets to work himself right back into the same form that he was impressing us with when he had to leave us with his injury. Speaking of injuries, we got a little house cleaning here, Coach. Damian Jones, torn pec. That's serious. A major bump in a road in a young man's career. What's this mean for him?
Yeah, I just feel horrible for Damian. I mean, he's had a really good start to this season. This experience has been so great. Playing whatever it was, 25 games, most of them starts, going against some of the best centers in the league and learning on the fly. It's been critical for him, and I was just hoping for his sake that he'd be able to, to keep doing this and keep growing and keep learning. This is obviously a big bump in the road. The good news is he should come back stronger. My understanding of the surgery is that his shoulders will be less susceptible to this injury after the surgery. So, he'll be back in 5 or 6 months, probably out for the year. And if that's the case, then, he's got all summer to prepare for next season, and we'll go from there.
I heard you talk about Draymond's timetable pointing towards Monday against Minnesota or Wednesday against Toronto.
Yeah, he's really made strides here the last few days with his conditioning, with his on-court work. He scrimmaged the last couple of days with a few of our players and coaches, and he told me yesterday he's feeling great. So we feel like he's turned the corner with this toe injury, and now it's just a matter of days.
Finally, it feels like we need to start asking you DeMarcus questions. Did I hear the phrase full contact practice?
Yeah, well, we hardly ever have real practices anymore because we just have games every other day. So we have a lot of scrimmages involving, some of the younger players who don't play a lot in games and some of our coaches. And those are the opportunities for DeMarcus to get some live action, and he's been doing that now the last week or two. And I've noticed on this trip, I think his conditioning level has gotten much better. I mean, he still has some barriers to get through, but he just looks like he's more energized, getting closer, and really doing a good job with everything.
That's good news. Good to hear. Last two games have been against bottom dwellers. The next three get very interesting. Tomorrow in Milwaukee with a little sense of revenge to it, given how well they handled their trip to Oracle Arena. Then again, Monday, Minnesota, then Toronto. Three big challenges here. Let's start with the way your team responds after a loss. It really is. It's great to see the anger that comes out. Are we going to see an angry, motivated Warrior team in Milwaukee, or is it way too early in December for us? So, no, hey, when it sounds like popcorn, that means you should get it out of it, right?
Uh-oh.
Jeez,
uh-oh.
Sorry, we had a little recording difficulty there at the end of the Steve Kerr interview. I think we made it through the vast majority. Sorry you didn't get the whole thing. If you missed any of it, well, you can go to 957thegame.com and check it out there. Hopefully it doesn't sound like popcorn. We apologize for the technical difficulty, but that's what happens when you're out from the comfort of the studio and on remote, which is exactly what we are right now for our annual Guardsman Tree Lot show. We are down here at Fort Mason. It's the Festival Pavilion. And we invite you to come on down for all your holiday cheer. We certainly have it for you in bunches. And every dollar that you spend here will go to raising money for Bay Area at-risk youth. And we certainly hope that you can come ahead, come on down and do that. It will warm your heart. Now, if you're looking if you're looking to warm yourself a little bit more than that, well, just keep listening to 957thegame.com because we've teamed up with Alaska Airlines this basketball season to send you and three guests to paradise. It's the Hawaii for the Holidays getaway, courtesy of Alaska Airlines. You can register now at 957thegame.com. Then tune in to Joe Lowe and Dibs at 7:20 a.m. to hear them announce a name. And if yours is called, you give us a call within 9 minutes and 57 seconds. You can qualify for that Hawaii getaway over the holidays courtesy of Alaska Airlines. You can visit 957thegame.com for full details. I tell you, the only thing better than going to Hawaii?
What?
Is going to Hawaii on someone else's dime.
Hell yeah.
That's about as good as it gets. doing things on other people's dimes, well, that's really what we're all looking to do in life, right? That's why you make connections. That's why you have inroads. That's why you got your people who need to call my people, and then together we'll go do lunch. Like, that's how the world works. I've always used to say, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, when it comes to sports, if you want to get into any sporting event, join the media. They let all sorts of losers in who've got media credentials hanging around their necks. You wouldn't believe the parade of losers that masquerade as media just to get into a sporting event. It happens all the time, and obviously, the bigger the event, the more losers show up. Also, the bigger the event, the costlier the ticket gets. I think that's pretty obvious. Sure. We all know the concept of supply and demand. According to StubHub, we now have the top 10 best-selling sporting events in 2018. And we're close enough to the end of it to say, all right, here's the list. Nothing is going to top this list between now and the end of the year. Are you ready?
Okay, give it to me.
Number 10 was the AFC Championship game, Jaguars at Patriots. That was the 10 most sold ticket on StubHub. Number 9, World Series Game 2, Dodgers at Red Sox. Number 8, Stanley Cup Finals, Caps at Golden Knights. Number 7, NFC Championship Game, Vikings, Eagles. Number 6, the Rose Bowl last year, Georgia versus Oklahoma. Number 5, World Series Game 5. Number 4, World Series Game 3. Number 3, World Series Game 4. Number 2, the College Football Championship, Alabama Crimson Tide versus Georgia Bulldogs, was the second most sold on StubHub ticket from last year. When Alabama shows up, tickets go. Which
World
is
Tide.
They're absolutely looking forward to that at Levi's Stadium.
Yeah, January 7th.
Yeah, if Phyllis were here right now, she would tell you, they're better than you. They're better. So the number one, as you can always expect, is the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is traded on the open market like nothing else. As a matter of fact, this year, StubHub saw 34% growth in Super Bowl sales. And you know what? I don't know why. What you need to do is involve a zealous fan base. What you look at here, most every single one of these has an overzealous fan base. Who's bonkier than Patriots fans? All right. Maybe Eagles fans.
They're better than what you've got. Nick Saban is a better man than you are.
I knew we would hear from her eventually. What a beautiful singing voice she must have. You've got Red Sox fans who are insane. I'm not even going to put Dodgers fans into the Red Sox sold out the World Series in L.A. I don't even know if Dodgers fans did that. The Red Sox are involved. The ticket price goes up twofold. The Rose Bowl, you get Oklahoma and Georgia. Lunatics on both sidelines, right? NFC Championship game, the Eagles were in that. What I was really surprised cracked this list was Stanley Cup Finals Game 5. But that's how desperate Caps fans were to finally see a Stanley Cup. So Caps fans, I guess, nuts enough to do that. And then once again, you got the Patriots involved. The thing that didn't make the list, one of the most sold tickets in sports last year, just missing the list, was when the Eagles went to London.
Really?
You get the Eagles involved, you're selling them delusional fans.
Oh, I live with one.
There you go. I remember when you said you came back from your Super Bowl party, you walked into a room full of grunting shirtless men.
Yeah, with Eagles jerseys, T-shirts, anything Eagle is like anything Eagles that we owned were just hanging everywhere around the house. It was bananas and crazy.
Actually hanging on anyone.
No, it was just thrown all over the house.
Shirtless.
In celebration.
Topless.
Yes.
Eagles.
It's good stuff.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. I like it an awful lot. So that's interesting. The 10 best-selling sport events in the U.S. By the way, I saw this tweet come from Arash Markazi, who was our guy in L.A.
Yeah.
He was saying that his job is a pretty good one, and it really is. He said that he went to 9 of the 10 events, and he's like a real guy in journalism, not one of those losers we tell you about, but he's a real sports journalist. He went to 9 of these, and he said the only reason why he wasn't all on 10 is because it was physically impossible to be at the AFC and NFC championship game on the same day because they were played in 2 different cities right after each other.
Right.
So it would have been all 10 if he had had a, you know, time machine.
And he's in L.A., so he had, you know, Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series, the Rose Bowl, obviously, in Pasadena. So it was easier for him to get to some of this, for sure.
No doubt. But he was there for all of it.
That's awesome.
That's a good life.
Yeah.
It really is. Again, why are you in sports? Because you get to go to these things for free sometimes.
It's one of the great, it's a nice perk, Damon, I'm not going to lie. Oh. It's one of the coolest things about this job is getting to have a front row seat to all of this really cool stuff.
I wanted to be at the game more than I wanted to be on the radio at the beginning of this, which is why I was like, all right, let's go try to be on the radio because it'll get me in the game.
Absolutely.
Like, that's all I wanted to do. And look at us now.
My, how we've blossomed.
Whatever this is, that's that's what we are. Where we are is at the Guardsman Tree Lot. We're thrilled to be here. Coming up next, Mark Medina, who, as always, has something a little more interesting than the next guy we could talk to about the Warriors. I believe Mark, who's out on this road trip, got to hang out with the team in a Milwaukee high school gym. We'll tell you why next here on 95.7 The Game. It is the Guardsman Tree Lot. We love to see you down here. We're going to be open until 9 o'clock tonight. We'll be open at 9 o'clock tomorrow night, the night after that, the night after that, the night after that, all the way to next weekend. Whole bunch of new trees are going to be here tomorrow. It is the perfect place for you to come and pick up all the holiday cheer that you're going to need. All the bells, the baubles, the whistles, the
ornaments,
lights, trees, wreaths, garland, everything that you would possibly need for the holidays. We got it for you. And every dime goes to a good cause. The Guardsmen, we are representing and serving Bay Area at-risk youth and have been doing so. This whole charity started in 1947 by a whole bunch of guys who just got back from winning World War II, and they wanted to stay in touch with each other after having returned home from winning the Great War, and they wanted to do something to help San Francisco. So the Guardsmen actually started raising money, selling trees to send Olympic teams. Like, that's why the Guardsmen have a very good relationship with the Olympic Club.
Oh, wow.
So it used to start funding that, and then, of course, pivoted to when the Olympic Club became like, oh, well, they got plenty of money.
You're
don't need to worry about them. Everybody there drives a Jaguar. They're fine. Let's put this money to use. And that's when the pivot was made to sending kids to summer camp and providing scholarships for education. So we certainly hope you can come on down to the Guardsman Tree Lot. It's at the Festival Pavilion here in Fort Mason. Our friend Mark Medina of the Mercury News is with the Warriors out on this very interesting road trip. A very interesting trip on the road trip was made to a high school gym tonight on behalf of Kevon Looney, of all people, to talk us through that story as it develops. Our friend Mark Medina, good enough to join us here on the Damon Bruce Show. Mark, thank you very much. So Kevon Looney is back at his high school getting his jersey retired, and the Golden State Warriors showed up with him, huh?
It was surreal. It had the feeling of a high school pep rally because it literally was one. And then all of a sudden, you know, out comes Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Draymond Green and Steve Kerr. I mean, I don't know about you, Bruce, or Damon, but when I was in high school, I never had, you know, 3-4 all-stars come out and an accomplished head coach just stroll onto your gym. So they were already excited because Kevon Looney is considered a hometown hero here for all he did at Hamilton. He was a top recruit, but to top that off with the Warriors All-Stars, it was a pretty festive atmosphere, to say the least.
I would imagine that a gym full of high school kids had to have gone bonkers for that moment. And look, it's great that Looney is hailed as this hometown hero. I'm hoping that the attention on all the superstars didn't take too much attention off of him.
No, I think it was I wouldn't say it was equal. I think that there was definitely more buzz for the All-Stars and Steve Kerr because of who they were. But also, I think the element of surprise kicked in. They knew that they were going to be cheering on Kevon Looney. But I think what this illustrates is just another sign of how close-knit this team is. Kevon Looney was saying, look, like, these guys are All-Stars. They don't have to go to my pep rally or my jersey retirement ceremony. And I know there's always this simile metaphor that people use in professional sports that a lot of times on the road, you have 15 guys going to dinner and 15 guys taking their own cab because everyone's doing their own thing. And so I think that this really just provides one of many other examples that the Warriors are unique and they're better off for it.
I tell you, this reminds me of a story from a couple of years ago when they all went to Belmont for Ian Clark's jersey retirement night. I mean, that was a guy who's not even on the team anymore, and he brought as many All-Stars as it seems Kevon Looney does that, and that really – that shows you the team building and the culture that Steve Kerr has grown here. Like I said, it's they don't show up for just Klay Thompson or Curry's jersey retirement. They come for guys who are the 8th, 9th, 10th guy on this team. It's really impressive. By the way, just curious, what number did Looney wear in high school?
It was the same number, number 5. So I don't want to say that this is a sign to come for the Warriors. Like, you know, let's be realistic here. He's a role player there, but he's been wearing that number through and through. But I think the most important thing of what this could mean is that Kevon Looney has bragging rights now to Draymond Green. And here's why. Kevon was telling me that when he was drafted in 2015 by the Warriors, Draymond started putting him on the spot and asking, hey, like, how big of a deal were you in Milwaukee? And Kevon didn't want to toot his own horn, but he was like, I'm basically their top recruit ever out of the state of Wisconsin. Like, he was a McDonald's All-American. He's won all these accolades. And Draymond didn't believe him. He said, you're really a big deal in Milwaukee. I don't believe that. And here he can kind of show Draymond, yeah, I wasn't lying to you here.
That's great. It really is. And since you just brought up Draymond and the way he gets along with his teammates and operates, Bob Myers came on our air today and basically said, you know, hey, this whole thing between KD and Draymond, it took a little while to get through it. But not only are we through it, we're past it. And it didn't sound like lip service. And I just think that this road trip is evidence of it. All is well with the Golden State Warriors once again, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if they start getting on a winning streak, it'll be even better, specifically against pretty caliber opponents like Milwaukee. But I think when you're looking at that situation, the thing that's very hard to evaluate is we don't know to what extent it's fully over, because the big picture concern is what to any degree will this affect Kevin Durant's future with him becoming a free agent next July, and if he winds up leaving, did this have any sort of influence? But I think when you're talking about just the short term and the immediate goal of winning an NBA championship, I think that they've shown ever since this flare-up, it's not going to derail that. And as far as what I've seen, granted, it's a limited window what we see, but pregame in the locker room, postgame in the locker room, they're interacting as they normally would. And I don't want to get all into, like, high school drama or anything, but since we're at a high school today, if you want to look at, you know, reading between the lines, they were sitting next to each other on the bench there at Kevon's pep rally. So maybe that's a sign of progress as well.
No doubt about it. Hey, thank you very much, Mark Medina, for filling us in on all the high school drama. You know, we're into it. We're not afraid of a little high school drama. We want to know who's sitting with each other in the lunchroom. We really do. More importantly is the way that we see Curry and Durant playing off each other right now. And it's just been harmonious. I know that they just had a lot of success against bottom dwellers, but the two of them combining for 125 points on only 66 shots in the last two games of basketball, like, that's a good way to get this team cooking before all hands are back on deck.
Yeah, and I think the thing that's very fascinating, it's so easy to dismiss it and say, well, it's obvious Steph Curry and Kevin Durant are kind of good at basketball. What do you expect? But I think that there's a real science that goes into making that return so seamlessly. When you're looking at Steph Curry, you're looking at from an injury standpoint. I mean, look, Steph makes shots from any distance. That's what he does. But for him, you know, aside from the first half in Detroit where he hasn't missed a beat, I think when you're talking to Steve Kerr and the rest of the team, that speaks to how well conditioned he has been during this rehab process, where once he was cleared, he kept his regimen going so he wouldn't, you know, feel behind in terms of his rustiness. And then when you're looking at Kevin Durant, okay, you can chalk it up to, hey, it's Kevin Durant and he scores the ball pretty well. But he was used to having to score 40 points when Steph was out just to give them a shot, a lot of ISO-heavy play, gaining the post. And he was able to immediately change the style where, you know, because of the gravity, because of the floor presence in terms of the spacing that Steph helps with the team, now it's all about ball movement. And Kevin Durant said something very interesting the other night when he said that Steph got going. That really made me feel like I have to bring a different mindset where I have to be aggressive and efficient, still look for the shot, but not be so consumed with getting touches because he knows that Steph's going to get a lion's share. And I think that that's a huge credit to how professional and ready Steph has been with his rehab. And I think it's a huge credit to how Durant can just seamlessly adjust his role depending on who's on the floor.
Mark Medina of the Mercury News here on 95.7 The Game, and that is a question that I asked Steve Kerr when he was on with us earlier today. Like, how do you think Durant prefers a night of basketball? Dropping 40 pieces, 50 pieces on us, or just laying back and being a Terminator-like efficient-level sniper killer? And I really think it's the latter, not the former. Like, Kevin Durant, I think, is more wired to be the quiet 32-point, 10-rebound performance that you didn't even notice because Curry was going off than the guy who's got to be the volume shooter.
Without a doubt. And you remember when he went off in the Garden when he had 40-plus points earlier this season. I was actually mentioning him in the locker room because of my time covering the Lakers a few years back with the LA Daily News. I said, hey, this game kind of reminded me of Kobe. Like, did you think of putting up some Kobe numbers tonight? And I was just being facetious and joking, but Kevin actually turned serious. He's like, nah, like, I'm more about trying to be efficient. I don't want to just be jacking up shots. And he wasn't saying that, you know, to rip Kobe or criticize. It was just more of acknowledging the reality that when he looked at how Kobe scored the ball, a lot of times for better and for worse, mostly for better, it was a high-volume shooting performance where Kevin – he very much values efficiency. He doesn't want to feel like that he's just chucking up shots because even when he was playing with Russell Westbrook, I think in the back of his mind, he still knew that, okay, I am one of the guys. I still need to get my numbers. I still need to get a rhythm going. I still need to carry the team. But he didn't want it to be one on five or 2-on-5. He is very prideful of the fact that he has been efficient with his shooting numbers across the board, from the field, from three-point range, and from the free throw line.
Mark Medina here on 95.7 The Game. Get-out question for you, and we got to go quick because we're up against the break. We all know what the Bleacher Report article Rick Bucher came up with Kevin Durant talking about how LeBron James, ball dominant, could be hard for other stars to go play with, plus the media that surrounds him can be best described as toxic. Now, a lot of people want to say, oh, he's throwing shade at LeBron. I don't think he is at all. I think he's throwing shade at the situation. Are you interpreting it the way I am? That, like, forget about what he really means. Did he just scratch a line through the Los Angeles Lakers in terms of his own future?
Oh, without a doubt. And, I mean, I've been on record saying before, I could never see him playing with the Lakers for that very reason. It's nothing against LeBron personally. They get along well. I just don't think that Kevin would like everything that comes with it, with the narrative of, oh, LeBron would be mentoring him or he would get some of the blame when things aren't going well. Knowing how Kevin is with the Warriors, that's something that he just would not put up with. So I think that's the way I interpret it.
There you go. We're on the same page, Mark Medina. That's why I love talking to you, man. Thanks for joining us from Milwaukee. Try to stay warm, okay?
Will do. I got a coat, but that's why I love talking with you. It's a great conversation about Warriors basketball.
My man, Mark Medina, thank you very much from the Mercury News. Great to have him on. And when we come back, it's going to be a tip our cap, give our thank you notes. And since he was just talking about Kobe, by the way, I got a this day in Warriors history to run past you. And it's not going to be one of those like, oh, that's interesting, but I don't remember that. Oh, you remember this one if you're a Warriors fan. We are going to put you in the Wayback Machine. 18 years ago on this date, we had a one-on-one battle that was officially special that I officially remember, and you will too. That's next here on the Damon Bruce Show.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show, live from the Christmas Tree Lot on 95.7 The Game.
All right, big thanks to everyone at the station who made it possible for us to continue my pet project with the San Francisco Guardsmen. It is wonderful to have everyone down at the tree lot today. If you came on down today, thanks very much. If you haven't picked up everything you need for the holidays in terms of trees, ornaments, baubles, tree toppers, stands, garland, wreaths, everything you would possibly need, we got it for you. Come on down. It all goes to charity, to a great cause, to Bay Area at-risk youth, and we wouldn't be able to do it without you. Thanks so much for doing it with us, and thanks so much to my entire station for supporting this today. I mean, it is a day where it's actually a lot easier to say, no, we're not going to go do that, than yes, we are going to go do that, because yes, we are going to do that for a charity means a lot of people got a lot to do on a day where they normally wouldn't have to do anything. So I really cannot thank everyone who made us get on the air down here enough. Really, really appreciate
awesome.
It. Thanks to all the guardsmen, of course, for setting everything up and volunteering for us. Couldn't do it without them. Thanks so much to our promotions department, Andres and Dana, for coming down today. Really thank the both of you for setting us up. You didn't just give us the old yeah, it's kind of a tablecloth. You gave us, like, the actual 95.7 The Game tablecloth.
They went fancy. It's very nice.
Means you went deep into the promotions closet for that one, and we thank you very, very much for doing that. Tim, again, if you weren't here to plug anything in, I don't know how we would get this done. Thank you very much for doing it. Thanks to Whitley, as always, for all of the audio, video, TV support. Really appreciate that. Gianna, needless to say, great stuff as
always.
Thank you very much. Albie and Elena back at the studio. We wouldn't want to do it, couldn't do it without you either. This day in suck. Are you ready?
Yes.
That's the way it used to be for the Warriors. I tell you, there was a time where it's a great timeout was the best description of a Warriors game. The actual in-game is going to be a headache, but maybe the timeout will provide a little entertainment for you. Well, there was one night, all the way back December 6th, 2000, exactly 18 years ago tonight, where the Warriors decided to actually give us a show while the game was being played. And it wasn't just the Warriors, it was Kobe Bryant as well. Do you remember, if you're a Warriors fan old enough to remember, the answer is yes. Yes, you do remember. This is the night, 18 years ago, that Kobe and Antoine Jameson both dropped 51 points in a Warriors overtime win at Oracle. The both of them served up a 50-piece. I remember that one.
Do you?
There's not a lot of distinct Warrior games from that era that stand out for any reason whatsoever. That one officially stands out. That was one of those, if you were watching, you did not leave the bar. You never left your house. If you had reservations for dinner, you didn't care.
No,
like, you weren't
late.
Going anywhere. That was a hell of a game that I remember. Those are two virtuoso performances. I remember the very next day, Warriors fans were like, oh, dude, Antoine Jameson's as good as Kobe. You can write that down. Like, Kobe, move over. It's Twan's world that you're living in now. And that was, again, part of the beauty of the Warriors fans back then. Everyone got very, very excited over that moment. But really, it was a fun moment. And 18 years ago, God, we're getting old.
I know. That is not that seems like just yesterday.
That game is now old enough to have graduated from high school.
Great.
Wow.
There you go.
That's perspective.
By the way, I think he scored 51 the night before that game as well against the Sonics.
I think you might be right.
It might have been 50-plus. I don't remember the exact number.
He had back-to-back amazing games.
I think it was back-to-back 50-point games.
And that was like the crescendo of the entire career.
That was it.
Right there.
This day in suck. Right there.
I hope you enjoyed those 48 hours of Antoine Jameson.
Yeah.
I really do. Hey, thanks everyone again. We already thanked everyone here at the station. Thanks to every single guardsman for getting us up and on the air today. Thanks so much to Anthony Slater, to Steve Kerr, to Dante Pettis for joining us today. Thanks to Mark Medina for joining us from Milwaukee, basically live from Kevon Looney's high school, essentially.
That's cool.
Really appreciate that. Thanks to all of you for doing this. Elena, I'm going going to make your night a little tough. I'm going to get out 20 seconds early, and you can figure it out. You can play any sound bite that you deem necessary from the show. Maybe even the Christmas song.
Why not?
Appropriately from the Christmas tree lot on the way out. A little... And remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Please take our money.
Steve Kerr has led the Warriors to face the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA Finals every season he's been a head coach for the Golden State Warriors. True or false?
False.
That's true.
I just...